my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 140 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. Glad to have you on board another week. And this week, I'm going back to a format that I actually enjoy a lot, and it's Ask My 1-2-3 Cents. I posted on the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page and got some questions. I thought I'd posted it on Twitter, but apparently I did not. I went back and looked, so next time I will hit Twitter and Facebook. But got some great questions, and I'll get to those in just a few minutes. Just want to get some house cleaning out of the way before we get to your questions. And that is the Cape Girardeau Championship Wrestling. Cape Championship Wrestling has a big show coming up this weekend, Saturday, July 29th. It is happening at the AC Brazzi Arena in Cape Girardeau. It's in Arena Park. And Billy Gunn is their special guest. He is coming in. Of course, a former WWE superstar, a member of D-Generation X. Actually, he is going to be teaming up with the former CCW champion, Brandon Barbwire. They're taking on the current CCW champion, Hollis Giroux, and Roger Mathis. And Mathis, of course, is the Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion. He is doing some matches over there with CCW, as some of the other Stride stars are as well. And we'll get to those in just a moment. But that duo will be managed by Jeff Odell. Should be a great match there with Billy Gunn coming in. And Billy Gunn just actually did a New Japan show too, not too very long ago. Billy is in great shape. So looking forward to hearing more about that match as it goes down. Farmer Billy Hills, I mentioned Stride Pro Wrestling. He is taking on Brandon Espinoza for the Missouri Wrestling Revival Missouri Championship. And Brandon Espinoza recaptured that championship. So he will be defending it against Farmer Billy Hills. The first time I went to Cape Championship Wrestling, which was in August of last year, these two had a great match. So I'm looking forward to seeing more on that as well. By the way, this is their anniversary show, CCW 1 year old now. So congratulations to them on that milestone. And the Blaster teams up with Sexy Sarge O'Reilly. They will defend the CCW Tag Team Championships against the LA Hustlers. There's an intergender tag team match with the CCW Women's Champion Mardi Gras and the Incredible Tattoo. They'll take on Nikki Lane and Marco Stunt. A handicap match with implications involving Jason Vaughn if Jason Vaughn is able to beat Justin the Juice Smart and the CCW General Manager Osby Tomlin, then Vaughn will be reinstated in CCW. J.D. Wilk will be in the corner of Smart and Tomlin. So interesting implications there for Jason Vaughn. It's do or die, as they say. There's also a number one contenders match for the CCW Championship. The King of Darkness, Del Tucker, takes on the human highlight reel, Austin Lane. I saw Austin Lane when I mentioned that show back in August of last year. He took on King Ricochet. It was a phenomenal match. So I'm looking forward to seeing who advances and will go on to face the CCW champion at a future show. Also, Ace Hawkins and Dexter Roswell, both of these guys, we've seen them on Stride. Dexter, of course, is a big part of Stride still today. They take on Roscoe Eat Lisa. They have also been a part of Stride Pro Wrestling. So looking forward to seeing how some of the Stride members fare in Cape Girardeau. Again, that is happening this Saturday night, July 29th. Bell time is 7 o'clock. The doors will open at 6 over there at the AC Brazzi Arena. And you can go to capewrestling.com for more details on that. Stride Pro Wrestling, of course, coming up a week later on Saturday night, August 5th, We are located, of course, at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois, and looking forward to a night of action there. I do know for sure Big Roger Mathis defends the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship against Cash Borden, and we're also going to see Heath Hatton battle Jay Spade for the number one contendership. So the battle royal from, or the rumble match from last month ended with both Spade and Hatton going over the top rope. So the best way to determine, and Roger Mathis played a role in that too, by the way, thinking that he was not going to have a contender if there was no clear-cut winner. General manager Sam Hunter, though, has decided that these two men, Spade and Hatton, will face off one-on-one. And to my knowledge, this is the first time in a Stride Pro Wrestling ring that this has happened in a one-on-one encounter. They've been in Fatal 4-Ways and tag team matches and battle royals. They've definitely had their differences, so it'll be interesting to see how this all comes to a head on Saturday night, August 5th. More on that show will be coming up next week, of course, right here on My 123 Cents, the podcast, as well as my123cents.com, the blog. We'll break down some other matches as they become announced on the Stride Pro Wrestling social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I encourage you to check out those sites. So let's stop talking about that and move on to your questions. And I'm going to start with one from Dan Turnquist. He asks, who will be the next indie star signed to NXT, not including Adam Cole? And I will, for full disclosure purposes, I don't follow the indies like I should. I follow more of the local indies here in Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri. Big picture indies, I mean, I know some of the major players. I know Adam Cole has been brought up a lot. So since Dan said not Adam Cole, the other person who has been on my radar, and mostly because of all the buzz online, is Kenny Omega. I know Jim Cornette hates him. That's kind of an interesting Twitter feud to be watching if you haven't seen that. Cornette, sometimes I like listening to Cornette's podcasts, but sometimes I just wonder if he's too old school for today's generation. But I love Corny. I'm not going to stop listening to him, but it is fun to hear him kind of rant and rave every once in a while. So I guess my answer will be Kenny Omega. And I know that there's been flirtations there. Of course, everybody thought he was going to be in the 2017 Royal Rumble. Now there is talk that he will come up with some sort of deal in 2018. I don't know if Kenny Omega is a guy that you take straight from where he is and putting him on the main roster, or if they do send him to NXT. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out if and when it happens. Dan's question was specific to NXT, but I could see Omega going to NXT and kind of learning the WWE system and eventually being brought up to the main roster, as many others have in the past. Sam Banks asks, do you think the Shield will reunite? The crowd was chanting Roman's name on Raw when Seth and Dean were in the ring together. I don't remember the last time that happened. Do I think they will reunite? I don't think they will. Do I think they should? Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to a Shield reunion. I think that all three men worked well as a collective unit, and then I think they all did very well on their own. And I don't think there's any regression in development if they were to all come back together. I know, you know, had Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty reunited a couple years later as and gone back to the Rockers, I think people would have looked at that as a step back. Or if Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart had reunited as the Hart Foundation, and they did for a little bit, and then, but not so much as just the tag team. They were more of a stable in 97 when they came back together. So I think when you have three superstars who are pretty much all on a level playing field, they've all held the WWE Championship. They have all been in big matches with big opponents, and they've all held their own. I don't see any, there's not a Jannetty in this group, if you will. So I don't think it would be a bad idea. I think, though, WWE, it'll be interesting to see what happens after SummerSlam to see what direction they're going in with the Reigns character specifically, because obviously it looks as if both Dean and Seth are, if they're not back together, they're at least hanging out more and doing more together. So I wouldn't mind bringing Roman into the mix, and I think fans would actually cheer him again. I think that would be the only way they're going to get a babyface reaction out of Roman Reigns, is if they do reunite the Shield. So that may not be such a bad idea, and it shouldn't be viewed as a step back for either man. Hunter Woodworth asks a couple questions. His first, who is your favorite and least favorite wrestler in WWE? Well, for those who listen and watch or listen to the podcast and read the blog, you know that I am a huge Neville Mark. And Chad is rolling his eyes if he's listening to this right now. So he is my favorite, more because of, you know, having the opportunity to have met him a couple of times and worked with him on an indie show with All American Pro Wrestling. So Neville would be my favorite. I just I do like the King Neville, King of the Cruiserweights gimmick that's going for him now. I think he has really brought a lot to the table since turning heel late last year. So Neville gets my nod as favorite, least favorite. And I hate to be negative toward anyone, but again, if you've read the blog or listened to this podcast before, you know Baron Corbin is just not my guy. And, you know, maybe that'll change one day, but as for now, I hate the fact that he has the briefcase. One scenario, and by the time we're all listening to this, Battleground will be over and done with. But there was one theory a friend of mine from work, Chad, brought up, not Chad Smart, Chad Pippen, that Baron Corbin, or that Randy Orton wins the Punjabi prison match, wins the championship back from Jinder Mahal, and then and all the chaos that ensues after a Punjabi prison match would entail, Baron Corbin cashes in and then will face John Cena at SummerSlam. So if that happens, you know, obviously I just spent 90 seconds talking about something that I'm thinking about but has already happened, so it's kind of weird. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. So yeah, Neville, favorite. Baron Corbin, least favorite, at least for right now. Hunter also asks, will you ever wrestle another match? As I just mentioned, the work with AAPW, that particular night that Neville, or at the time Pac, wrestled El Generico, I also wrestled that night too. You can go back and listen. Back in January, Greg Mahochko from the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, he's the co-founder of this wonderful channel, he interviewed me kind of something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard style and asked what happened when I wrestled. And, you know, all the answers are there. Would I do it again? I would if it was the right story, if it was the right opportunity. I don't want to do it just to do it, although I enjoyed it. I have a newfound respect. I've always respected anyone who steps in the ring, but after doing it, a newfound respect for the men and women who get in there and wrestle, or, you know, even the managers that take bumps and referees as well. So, you know, it is something that I have the utmost respect for. So if it were the right kind of thing, because originally I did not want to wrestle. It was going on the whole angle that we had developed with AAPW was about a year removed from the Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole feud. And I did not enjoy that. I didn't think that Cole should be in the ring. But I understand the reasons why we did it here with AAPW. And like I said, if it were the right opportunity, and even if perhaps it was for some sort of charity involvement, I would definitely be more willing to do it. But I never say never. I'm grossly out of shape right now, though. So if that were to happen, I would definitely need to start getting in shape now. So thank you for that question, Hunter. Luke Lay, a longtime listener and friend of the show, asks, at any point, have you ever stopped watching for any period of time? I ask because after being a loyal WWF, WWE fan for almost 30 years, I just can't stomach much. I can't stomach the show anymore and have given up watching. It seems like they punish the viewer for paying attention and or trying to make sense of the storylines, not to mention the absolute overkill from the length of every show per week. Great question, Luke. Great question. And the short answer is no. I never stopped watching. I really define my starts as a fan. Although I had watched wrestling and seen it before this, it was the summer of 1983, flipping channels, and actually Don Morocco and Jimmy Snuka were on TV, and they caught my eye, and I stopped and watched. I was with a group of friends. We were hanging out, and I think that is, I usually use that as the moment that kind of defined me as a fan and got me hooked, because I credit Snuka and his tenacity. He leaped over the top rope onto Don Morocco and beat the hell out of him and ripped the suit off of his back. And it was just very intense. And after that, I became, a fan. And I had seen World Class before the Von Erichs, had caught my eye as well. And then I just started watching. And I watched, I grew up in St. Louis. So we had the NWA was on. We had Superstars of Wrestling with the WWF, World Class Championship Wrestling. At one point, the UWF was on. We also had Central States Wrestling. So there were several different outlets, and this was with cable as well, because I don't think Crockett ran on anything other than cable on TBS. So that was my introduction to wrestling, and then of course, through the lean and mean times of WWF, and I've always been a WWF guy too. I've watched everything, but WWF always first and foremost for me. And that includes, the 94-95 era with the silliness of T.L. Hopper and Freddie Joe Floyd and the Goon and all that. And, these were the college years for me as well. And I would break away from wherever I was and head down to they had a little pizza restaurant with a couple of TVs with cable on them. And back then, we didn't have dorm rooms equipped with cable. You had one TV at the end of your floor in the lobby that you would watch, and I could never convince anyone to watch wrestling, so I'd always make my way down and watch. So I never had a time where I gave up and stopped watching, because I always knew, wrestling is kind of has those peaks and valleys, and I understand the frustration of today's product, and I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, and I think a lot of it too. I agree with the length of time. There's an oversaturation right now, and there's no competition. There's no real competition for WWE, so you get locked into what they want to churn out, and they're not on their A game right now. That is for sure, and I know there are obligations with the USA Network that they have to have a three-hour Raw, and SmackDown is 2 hours. And, I do think if they cut back on Raw, or if they just simply utilize more of their roster, it would be a much better product. But, yeah, I will continue to watch, continue to blog and podcast about it, and interact with you guys about it. I love doing these kinds of episodes, because I like hearing from you, and then, What's next? What is going to happen next in this storyline, or your opinions, your thoughts. And I do want your thoughts on this as I get ready to wrap things up. I'm going to ask for your 3 cents. And I wrote a blog about it earlier in the week, but I got some interaction and some response. But if you are listening to this, what wrestler, what legend, what former performer, or current non-WWE, because I know that that's probably not an option, would you be willing to pay money to see at a meet and greet type setting, an autograph and a picture? Who would it be, and how much would you be willing to pay as part of like a Comic-Con event? You would pay your admission to get into the event and then go around, and then you can kind of pick and choose who you meet and greet with and take pictures and whatnot. So that's your question. That's what I want to hear your 3 cents about. Who is it that you would like to meet? And let me know. You can hit me up here on the podcast on Jittery Monkey, or reach out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My 123 cents is all over those social media platforms as well as my personal pages. And speaking of Jittery Monkey, be sure to check out the other great shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, including my partner in crime from time to time. That is Chad Smart and Positive Cynicism. And also, Greg Mahochko, the founder, as I mentioned earlier, has a podcast called Nerds United. He also does the Five Heart podcast on Nebraska Cornhusker athletics, although I think there's not a whole lot going on with that being the summertime. But be sure to check it out, bookmark it, check out the Jittery Monkey Facebook page, and Jittery Monkey is also on Twitter as well. All the links on the write-up at jitterymonkey.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.